Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, dynamic personalities who are this week going to play Just a Minute. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes, and seated on my left, Julian Clary and Zoe Lyons. Will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. Beside me sits Hayley Sterling. She'll help me with the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we're going to begin the show with Paul Merton and the subject, a lovely one, the elephant in the room. Tell us something about that subject in this game, Paul, starting now.
I could tell by the flapping of the ears that he was hiding behind the curtains. As I moved the drapes, there was indeed Ernie the elephant. He'd followed me all the way from Ashby de la Zouche, and now in the hotel room, he wanted his money back. I said to him, listen, you're just the kind of guy that I could fall for, but you're an elephant and I'm a human being, and we can't love across species. But then he suddenly looked me in the eye. He unpacked his trunk, he lay down on the bed, he said, listen, you're everything I've been looking for in a man, and I said, you're everything I've been wanting in an elephant.
Oh, Tony, yes.
Well, repetition, I think he repeated everything I have been.
Yes, everything, he did repeat that. It is a correct challenge. So, Tony, you take over the subject. There are 27 seconds left, and you start now.
I'm not quite sure why we have this expression, elephant in the room. It's supposed to be something there that you can't bring up. But surely, if there is an elephant in the room, there's no social stigma about pointing it out to somebody. There's a huge, great animal wandered in. Why wouldn't you say so? This is what I don't understand. So clearly, a mistake in the way they've organised this.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Tony Hawkes. He gets a point for speaking, so he's naturally in the lead at the end of the first round. And, Tony, we'd like you to begin the second round. If I ruled the world, tell us something about that iconic subject in this game, starting now.
If I ruled the world, and let's face it, the way politics has been going recently, I may well be in charge in a few weeks' time. I've already been asked several times to be in the shadow cabinet, but I've turned it down. I would implement a few changes. First of all, in supermarkets, I would ban them from using that expression, no item... Oh, I forgot what it is.
Zoe, you challenged.
There was a hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. And you've got a correct challenge. You get your first point. And you've got the subject. If I rule the world, there are 36 seconds if you want them, starting now.
If I rule the world, I would make sure there were several laws that just made the world go a little bit smoother. I would ask everybody in a car to allow one car out at a junction.
Yes!
Two cars.
So is Julian Buzzer went first. Julian, yes.
Repetition of car.
Yes, that's right, Julian. 25 seconds are still available. You tell us something about if I ruled the world, starting now.
If I ruled the world, I think I'd go in for referendums an awful lot of the time. I so enjoyed it before. I'm going to have that kind of carry-on for every single decision. Shall I wear shorts? Is it unseemly in the over 50s? And what about the cabinet? Let's do away with that. Let's have a chest of drawers instead. I think if I ruled the world, then same-sex marriage would be compulsory.
What a note to finish on, Julian. And so you've got the point for speaking as the whistle went. And Zoe, we're with you to begin. The subject is Brighton Rock. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I am a very proud and happy inhabitant of the Brighton and Hove area, and I love Brighton Rock in all its various shapes and forms. Of course, there is the candy cane version of Brighton Rock that we're all aware of, the sugary treat with Brighton Rock emblazoned through the centre of it. With every bite, you get a...
Oh. Tony, yes.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation there.
There was a hesitation.
A definite hesitation.
So Brighton Rock goes to you, Tony, with 39 seconds available, starting now.
It could be argued that I'm something of a contributor to Brighton Rock, being from that town, born and raised there, and forming a band, Maurice Minor and the Majors, that performed its first gig there.
Paul Challish.
You weren't a rock band, though, were you?
We started out as a rock band and we got...
Until you started rehearsing.
We got so many laughs, we went into comedy.
Look, I'm sufficiently old to have heard...
You're sufficiently old to have heard Caruso, never mind Tony's efforts.
Tony, yes, you did have your rock band, Maurice Minor and the Majors. Incorrect, Challish. A point to Tony, and Brighton Rock is still with you, Tony. 27 seconds available, starting now.
But like Zoe, I am also fond of the confectionery, which I purchase whenever I go onto the Palace Pier. I used to go onto the other one, but it's not there.
Oh, Paul, you challenge, yes.
Repetition of Go On.
Yes, you used to
but
go
I think
on.
It's great that a rock star like yourself can walk around anonymously. You've given so much to Brighton. I mean, I just think it's...
Anyway, Paul, correct challenge. And you have point, of course, for a correct challenge, and 17 seconds available, starting now.
A fantastic British film noir filmed in the 1940s in the Brighton area, of course, starring Richard Attenborough. I once met the great man, and he said to me the most extraordinary thing. He said, "You have made me pee myself with laughter. Mind you, I have got diabetes." Rather strange compliment, I must admit.
So Paul Martin was then speaking as it was away. Gain that extra point. He's now equal with Julian. They're just ahead of Zoe, and Tony Hawks is in the lead. And Julian is back with you to begin. The subject is squash. Tell us something about squash in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
When I played squash for the British under-21 teams, I used to frighten myself with how aggressive I was. It's something about squash that really brings it out of you. And the only way to calm myself down was, interestingly, to have a glass of squash afterwards, be it lemon or orange. I was very partial to both. And I remember once when I was watching Wimbledon, which isn't a diversion, nobody buzz me, please, whenever the umpire said juice, I thought he was calling for some squash when I was about 12 years old.
Tony, right.
Yes, I thought it might be deviation. Even though Julian said don't buzz, because it isn't, I thought that was, you know, not really on to give instructions.
I think he was going on about squash and the game and the squash he had to drink afterwards. And
but juice isn't squash.
No, but he was saying, why didn't he say squash instead of juice? Isn't that
Wimbledon.
Right, Julian?
Yes, there was a definite squash theme throughout everything I was talking about.
OK, I withdraw, I think.
No,
don't
withdraw. Oh. It means that Julian's got a point for an incorrect challenge.
Oh, OK.
And he takes the subject, and 27 seconds available, Julian. Squash, starting now.
Yes, don't withdraw, whatever you do. Yes, I used to play under a different name in those days when I...
Zoe, you challenged.
Oh, did I? I didn't mean to. Oh. It's a little bit rough with my button.
Itchy finger there.
Oh, dear.
Can you quickly think of a challenge?
I can't believe that Julian actually performed under a different name. What was your name, Julian, when you were performing?
Wilma Finger Do.
You see, that? That's got to be incorrect.
No, an incorrect challenge. Julian, you get a point for that, and you keep the subject. 18 seconds available. Squash, starting now.
Squash requires not particularly elaborate equipment. A very particular squash...
Tony, you challenge.
A repetition of particular?
No, yes. Particular and particularly, wasn't it?
Oh, this is a shambles.
Particular and particularly.
Yes, well, listen,
Paul.
Yes,
I think he's right. Yeah.
So, an incorrect challenge.
I've got so many points, I won't know what to do with them.
So, you get your bonus points. There are 12 seconds are still available for you, Julian, to talk about squash, starting now.
When I played squash, my shorts were always pristine. I'm very particular about things. Some people never iron anything, but my squash outfit was ironed within an inch of its life. And
Julian McLaren was then speaker as the whistle went. Gained that extra point. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. The subject is off-piste. 60 seconds if you want it, starting now.
Off-piste, the government body that regulates the very drunk, was formed in 2015 by the Reverend Jeremy Spooner in a moment of high exaltation. By Australian, he was a...
So, Tony, you challenge first.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. So, Tony, you got in first, correct challenge. Off-piste, 48 seconds still available, starting now.
The thing about going off-piste is you go off-subject, and you're not really allowed to do that in this game. What an extraordinary situation I find myself in.
Paul, you challenge?
It's not that extraordinary, is it? I think it's slight. I don't actually think it's deviation, because I think he's not talking about off-piste.
Well, I thought he was giving the comparison that he was going off the subject.
And if he's going off the subject, is he not deviating from the subject?
It could be off-piste from the subject, though.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, it could be off-piste from the subject, yeah.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tony, another point. 35 seconds available. Off-piste starting now.
Oh, how I love off-piste skiing the powder. Downwards I go, my knees buried in this beautiful soft snow.
Julian, challenge first.
Well, if your knees were buried, you wouldn't be moving anywhere, would you?
You would in off-piste.
No, if you're up to your knees in snow, I'm sorry, you'd be flat on your face.
How many skiers have gone through beautiful powder where it's up above their knees?
I have, but I did come to quite an abrupt halt. And just sort of, I was off-piste on my face then at that point.
And in lovely, soft, light snow, it can, you can be above
I've done a bit of skiing. I didn't go off-piste when I did it, but I know what you're talking about, Tony, and I think, actually, he must have the benefit of the doubt on that one. So, another point to Tony, and he's got off-piste still, 24 seconds available, starting now.
And I fell flat on my face. That's the trouble. It's no good going in there with it at that height.
Who was it? Julian, I think, first, yes?
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, right. Julian, this time it... it is a correct challenge, and 17 seconds available. Off-piste starting now.
When I was a member of the British under-21 ski team, I was known for going off-piste at every available moment. I would...
Paul, you challenge.
No, no, you were told to stay away from the under-21. Remember.
So, give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed that particular remark. Julian, you have a point for being interrupted and you keep the subject. And 8 seconds still available, off-piste, starting now.
Mind you, I was 48 at the time. I was a vision. My glasses and my goggles with the Union Jack on.
So, Julian Clare was then speaker as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's increased his lead ahead of Tony Hawkes, Paul Merton and Zoe Lyons in that order. And, Tony, we're back with you to begin. Ilkley Moor, tell us something about that, a lovely place in the north in Yorkshire, starting now.
Most people would probably know Ilkley Moor from the ballad on Ilkley Moor Bar Tat, which means on Ilkley Moor without a hat. A sensational premise for a song, I think we'll all agree. Why did they not follow with others? Bodmin Moor with no Y fronts. Dartmoor struggling to get the internet and social media. They could have been huge smashes. I like to go grouse shooting on Ilkley Moor. I shoot the people who are having a go at the birds. Very, very.
Right, Zoe, you challenge
there
first.
There was a repetition of shoot there. Yeah. Oh, was there?
Yes,
shooting. Oh, I was so close to it. I'm so sorry.
Lovely that you're so keen.
Yes, I'm desperate to get in.
And it was shoot and shooting. And an incorrect challenge. So, Tony, another point to you. 20 seconds available. Ilkley Moor starting now.
Imagine the scene. Dusk over the moor. I walk alone, nobody with me. That is the nature of loneliness when you're there. And I have a dog come towards me and I think, no dog on it. Oh.
Paul, you challenge first.
Repetition of dogs, I
think. Yes, indeed, there was.
He wanted to hear more, didn't he?
I did, yeah.
He was a long time on that moor, weren't you, Tony? Yeah. 7 seconds available still, Paul. Ilkley Moor, starting now.
Ilkley Moor, I found myself there one morning, watching the dew rise upon the grass and think to myself, what a...
Sir Paul Merton, Speaker, Sir Russell Wayne gained that extra point. He's increased his position there, but he's still in third place. And Zoe, it's your turn to begin. Zumba. That is the subject. Tell us something about Zumba in just a minute, starting now.
Zumba is a fitness fad that combines music and dance movement. It is originally from Colombia and now frequently performed in tiny hot rooms above pubs in London, which gives it an odd appearance as people are dancing and frolicking about in their tight lycra just yards from pints of ale. I have never attended a Zumba class because I am usually beneath the Zumba class.
Tony, you challenged
me. This is hard, isn't it?
You did very well. You kept going for ages. But then, sadly, yes. Repetition of class.
Yes. Well, listen, Tony, 1 point to you. 30 seconds available. Zumba, starting now.
What you don't want to do is to go to a Zumba class thinking it's the first one, only to discover they've been doing it for 10 weeks, but they've moved to your village hall because the other one was booked. It's so embarrassing. I thought I would be taught the moves. They all knew them. I was knocking people over. It was embarrassing beyond belief. There were several injuries. My trousers, tracksuits, actually, fell down.
Oh, wait a minute. Paul challenge.
Well, a slight hesitation there. They fell down, wasn't there?
I don't know.
I couldn't spot the hesitation.
No, perhaps
did
not.
Did you?
No.
And to be fair, at a Zumba class, you get quite sweaty, so it takes quite a while to get out of any clothing.
Exactly.
No, I think we have to give it the benefit of the doubt on occasions. And this one, it goes to Tony with another point and 4 seconds to go on Zumba, starting now.
Is it the case there's always one bloke at these events who doesn't...
So Tony Hawkes was then speaker as a whistle when gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And we're back with you, Julian, to begin. One more time with feeling. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
I was being examined by a doctor recently, at least he said that was his profession. And he cupped a certain part of my anatomy and asked me to cough several times, which I obligingly did. And then he said, one more time with feeling. Well, how do you do that particular function with feeling, I'd like to know. So I walked out of the room and that's the end of that particular story.
So you picked it up first, or sitting beside him?
I think there was the beginnings of a hesitation happening. It was a sort of slow reveal.
It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes.
And you have another point. And you have 32 seconds if you need it. One more time with feeling, starting now.
Doing it one more time with feeling depends on how many times you have done it previously. If you have done the
Tony.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation there.
I think so, yes. Don't draw attention to it next time,
don't. Don't stop barking.
No, that's... yes.
Tony Hawkes. Correct challenge, another point. 23 seconds available, starting now.
Cilla Black is in the studio with Burt Bacharach. And the American songwriter turns to the Scouser and said, we've done 31 takes. Just give it one more time with feeling. She does so. The 32nd is the one that we all now know and love. What's it all about, Alfie?
So Tony Hawkes was then speaking as the whistle went, got an extra point, of course, and has increased his lead at the end of that round. And we're back with you, Paul, to begin. Mm. And I've got the hiccups as well.
Repetition.
A bonus point over there, right. Paul, yeah. The subject now is Enid Blyton.
Enid Blyton.
60 seconds starting now.
I became very fond of the books of Enid Blyton when I was around about the age of 9 or 10. The Famous Five, The Secret Seven, The Furtive Four, The Thrilling Three. These were books that I loved, every single moment of them. There was something about her storytelling ability. The Sea of Adventure. Now, there was quite a hefty tome. Thick pages and a reasonably weighty thing in itself. I thought that by reading this amount of words, I was, for the first time, engaging myself in a grown-up book. It was...
Zoe challenged.
I think there was a repetition of book.
Yes,
oh, I think
was.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Beginning. 29 seconds still available, Zoe. And it's Enid Blyton, if you want her, starting now.
My favourite Enid Blyton character was Noddy and his friend Big Ears. Now, Noddy drove around in a...
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it.
Sadly, repetition of Noddy.
Correct challenge, Paul. Another point to you. Enid Blyton, 23 seconds, starting now.
I went to my local library and went to see how many Enid Blytons they had in stock, and I was thrilled because the whole range was there. I wasn't a particular fan of Noddy and Big Ears, slightly too young for me at the time, but the one that I really grabbed to my heart, I said to all my fellow school friends, you have to read this volume. Enid Blyton's best...
Tony, you challenge.
A repetition of Reed.
Oh, yes. Not a popular challenge, I'm afraid, Tony. Anyway, you've got him with 1 second to go. Tony, on Enid Blyton, starting now.
Bogey.
Tony Hawks is now in the lead, or still in the lead, and Tony, we're back with you to begin. Bangers and mash. Tell us something about bangers and mash in this game, starting now.
Certain things, words go together. Salt and vinegar, fish and chips, Nigel Farage and facile jingoism. And, of course...
Julian, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, after Nigel Farage. 50 seconds, you got in with the correct challenge. Bangers and mash, starting now.
I had June Whitfield round for lunch at my luxury home recently, and I fed her bangers and mash, which was just what she wanted. And we sat there chewing away, and she said, "These bangers are delicious." I said, "They're from the local butcher, June." She said, "You must give them."
Tony challenge?
Repetition of June.
Yes, June Whitfield, you mentioned before.
You'll never know what happened in the end.
Because there's still 33 seconds.
You might get in again. I might actually fall on my sword in order to hear the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
33 seconds, a correct challenge, Tony. Another point, of course. 33 seconds available starting now.
Why would you want to put mashed potato on your old car? This is what I have always thought about bangers and mash. And yet people do it, collectors of these lovely items. I, like June Whitfield, love bangers and mash. Wherever the sausages have come from, I do not mind. I'm not one of these snobs that insists on it being from an organic place. I will go...
Paul, you challenge
first. Well, it's like organic splace, so it's like hesitation, perhaps.
We would call that hesitation, Paul. Yes. So you have bangers and mash. You have 6 seconds if you wanted, starting now.
The sausage had been cooked to perfection. The potatoes were ready. I looked them both in the eye and said, "Tonight we're going to have a..."
So Paul Merton was then speaking to whistle, went, got a point, and has moved forward. He's one behind Julian, 3 or 4 ahead of Zoe, and they're all trailing Tony Hawk still. And Zoe, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is washing the car. Mm. 60 seconds starting now.
Washing the car is something that I have to do frequently because I live beside the seaside and the gulls use my vehicle for target practice. It is frequently caked in detritus from the sky, so I have to wash the car perhaps once a week, sometimes twice in that time period. I will use the towel.
And that's
I got so excited at my own cleverness.
It was very unfair because the audience reaction to your clever way of getting out of that meant that you actually hiccuped and dried.
I know. I surprised myself there.
People were taking notes on how often you wash your car.
We have to take Julian's challenge because he did come in first there. Julian, yes.
Yes, I was in like Flynn with... She paused.
Yes, that's right.
Hesitated.
There are 35 seconds still available. Julian, washing the car, starting now.
If my car wants washing, I've got a man called Glynn who comes around every Tuesday and Wednesday, does odd jobs, if you know what I'm saying. He wears a wife-beater shirt and he's riddled with tattoos. And he goes out there with a bucket and a chamois leather and sets to it. And after that, he starts washing the car. He buffs it up beautifully and it's gleaming in the sunshine. When I left home this morning, I thought, oh, he's done a good job. He...
Paul challenged.
Slight hesitation.
I think there was, yes. Mm. And you got in, Paul, with 4 seconds to go.
I'm quite happy to withdraw the challenge.
No. I gave the benefit of the doubt against you last time. So yes. This time you're going to have the benefit of the doubt say it was a hesitation. Mm. And you have got 4 seconds on washing the car, starting now.
As the soapy suds ran down the bonnet across the wheels, I...
So Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And we are moving into the final round. I'll be given the situation. Zoe is lying in a very strong fourth place. And just ahead of her is Paul Merton. And one ahead of Paul is Julian Clary. And three or four ahead of Julian is Tony Hawkes. And Julian, it is your turn to begin. The subject, the French Connection. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Oh, it's some dreary film, isn't it, which probably won some awards, but I want to talk about the French Connection that I enjoyed in Saint-Tropez in 1985. His name was Jacques, and goodness me, did we connect. We went for a walk along the seafront, and he mumbled things in my ear. I couldn't really understand because he had a mouth full of snails. And something about La Plume de ma Tante, but the accent was so erotic. And the relationship lasted, all weekend. And he still writes occasionally, but of course it's all gibberish to me because I'm not bifocal. The French Connection is, from my point of view, just a happy memory. But there are times when I think, well, what would my life have been like if I'd followed through and I'd had a completely different life out there? I could have little ones, I could have opened a shop and sold...
Well, that doesn't often happen in this game. Someone begins with a subject and finishes as well and is not interrupted. No hesitation, repetition or deviation. So I give you the final score. Zoe Lyons has come in a very strong, I mentioned it before, fourth place. First time someone's had a round of applause for coming in last. And then just ahead of her was Paul Merton. And 1 point ahead of him was Julian Clary, but out in the lead, just ahead of them all, was Tony Hawkes. So we say, Tony, you are the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes, Zoe Lyons and Julian Clary. And I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle with great aplomb when the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, who is Matt Strong. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Shaw Theatre. And so from them, me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, thank you. Tune in again when we next play Just a Minute!
And there'll be another Just a Minute next week.